Verse. While traveling to Jerusalem, Jesus passed by between Samaria and Galilee. 10 men with leprosy met him at a distance and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." While they were going, they were healed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. He fell face down at his feet, thanking him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner? Get up and go. Your faith has made you well."
Gospel of Luke chapter 17. I want to speak this morning on the subject, an uncommon gratitude. I think it is uncommon. It seems like we live in an age when we feel entitled to whatever we get and we don't really need to thank anyone for it. It's just what we deserve. Kind of really a sad commentary on, I think, our whole thought process I think all of us have been infected to some degree or another by that. One of my favorite authors is Mark Twain. I didn't necessarily agree with all of his lifestyle choices, but I think he wrote some things that were really true, almost like Proverbs. He said that if you pick up a starving dog and make him prosperous, he will not bite you. This is the principal difference between a dog and a man. And that was, you know, quite a few years ago. Still seems to be true, doesn't it? Well, why is it that gratitude seems so uncommon? Well, I think maybe it gets back to this feeling like we deserve better. Actually, I think if we were all honest, and I certainly would include myself when I say this, really we deserve God's eternal punishment because we are all sinners. We are all guilty enough to spend eternity in hell. And the Bible says that that is really our natural condition. Now, natural doesn't necessarily mean right. In fact, in this case, it doesn't mean right. It means that we are really hell-bent. And part of that, I think, is this ungrateful spirit. I'm sure that you'll recall the time that the children of Israel spent in the wilderness. They had left Egypt. They'd been delivered from their bondage to Egypt. Soon after they got out of Egypt, God, of course, drowned Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. Just a miraculous deliverance of this nation. But in the wilderness, they began to complain. And I think we would too, because I've never lived in a desert area with a million other people. But there wasn't all of the delicacies that they had in Egypt. There were times that they were, I'm sure, thirsty. Times that they felt like they didn't have enough to eat. They certainly didn't know what was going to happen tomorrow. And so they began to do what people, natural people, are prone to do, and that is to complain. Here this morning, I think there is an antidote to this complaining spirit that we often have. What can we learn from this scripture passage that will help us to be more grateful for our blessings? Well, I want us to look there at, again, Luke chapter 17 and beginning there at verse 11, because we have here one who was uncommonly grateful. 1 out of 10. Now, I don't know whether that's a percentage that holds throughout the human family, but it seems to me like it does. But here are 10 lepers. They didn't know exactly what caused it. I think today we're still not sure. It's a virus. But it particularly afflicted people in this part of the world and at this particular time. Now, it is still found in areas of the world, even in parts of the United States, especially in the southern states. It's not common, but it's not unheard of, certainly. But this was a very debilitating disease. I suppose maybe what made it so bad, what it did was it deadened the nerve endings. They would burn their hand in a fire and they would lose parts of their body. And so over a period of time, you can see what this would do to the body. These were disfigured people. These were people who really had no hope of cure. They were, I think the worst thing about it was that they were shut out from their loved ones and society in general. They had to call out unclean when they saw anyone come near. It was, you know, part of the law, really. And if they didn't, I suppose they could be stoned or worse. I don't know what would be worse than that, but maybe they thought that, you know, this is just as bad. This is a living death. Leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. It is really our condition. We're all spiritual lepers. 10 is often a number used in the Bible for organized humanity. There were 10, I think, nations in the book of Genesis to begin with. It is, I think, a number that is symbolic of all of us. It embraces everybody. So I think these details should not be overlooked in the Scriptures. I think if you'll study the Bible and Bible numerology, you'll agree to that. You'll agree with that. Well, certainly God intended this to be a lesson for us today. These 10 lepers, it says, raise their voices. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And then it tells about how Jesus saw them and he told them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And while they were going, they were healed. Now, what can we learn from that? First of all, I believe it's very obvious that we can learn about a blessing bestowed. A blessing bestowed. Now, Jesus didn't single one of them out, the one that that we know returned to give thanks. And because, you know, maybe, and I think, not just maybe, but I believe Jesus knew how they were going to respond. I think he knew which one was going to respond with gratitude. He didn't just single him out for the blessing. He gave the blessing to all. And that is so like the God that we read about in the Bible. The Bible says He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. We are all partakers of His blessing. I know we might wish certain circumstances were different in our lives, that we had more blessings maybe, but we're like the ten in that God has blessed us. Just the fact that we are here this morning is testimony of His watch care and His love for us, His faithfulness to us. They had a common condition. Leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. We're all lepers, spiritually speaking. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, and it says it in other places too, but it says there that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah says, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And so we're all like these ten. We all need Jesus. Again, I think a picture of the human race. We all need Jesus. It doesn't matter what religious background we might have, what racial background, we need Him. That, I think that's the lesson of the ten here. There's a common condition. There's a common complaint. I think what they did was natural. It says they raised their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And apparently they all cried out because of their need. They had a common complaint. And I love what the Scripture says in Psalm 50:15. God says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And see, that's what the Lord was doing here. He was answering this call in the day of trouble, and He was delivering them. And the purpose of that deliverance was that they would glorify Him. But there was a common cleansing. Here it says that they, as they were going, they were healed. They were instructed to go show yourselves to the priest. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Leviticus and in other places in the Old Testament, you know that this was the prescription for somebody who had leprosy. A priest had to pronounce him clean. And they were, as they were going, though, it says, they were healed. Now, I think they had faith to this point. Now, they probably thought, well, what do we have to lose? But there was a small faith there that they believed that maybe they would be healed. And it says, as they were going, they were healed. Now, I don't know that that necessarily means that they all became believers or followers of Jesus. It would seem not to be the case. It would seem that only one really became a disciple, a follower of Jesus. But they had all received the cleansing. And in the book of Hebrews, and I hope that these nine men were not like those that Hebrews 6 tells us about. It says there that it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. And we know that many, well, the Bible says He came unto His own and His own received Him not. So many rejected Jesus, even though they may have recognized Him for who He was, the Son of God, the incarnate, second person of the Trinity, God, very God, come to earth in the person of their Messiah, Jesus Christ. It means Jesus the Messiah. And so there was a cleansing, a common cleansing. And Isaiah 1:18 says, it talks about how though our sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become as wool. This is what Jesus wants to do. He wants to cleanse from the sin, the leprosy, if you will, of sin in our lives and make us clean and pure before Him. It doesn't mean we'll be sinless forever in this body, in this life. We will sin. But there's this provision that He has made that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful thing that cleansing is. If you've not experienced it, you can wash yourself every day. You can take two showers a day, and you're not going to feel that inner cleansing that only Jesus can give. So come to Him for that cleansing. There's that lesson, the lesson of a blessing bestowed. There's also the lesson here of an obligation owed. And I read here in the Scripture passage that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, to this point, at least, there was obedience. They obeyed. And that is our obligation, to obey the Word of God. I think this is how we show our thanksgiving to Him, or begin to show it. I'm not sure that they really obeyed. I think the one did. But I think the others just thought, what do I have to lose? Maybe like those who would maybe come to a meeting, like an evangelistic meeting, and but their hearts were unchanged. In the one, at least, there was an obedience. He obeyed. He did what he knew the Scriptures commanded. And, of course, he obeyed the word of Jesus. And his heart was obviously in what Jesus commanded here. There was repentance. Because here it says that as they went, they were cleansed. It says while they were going, they were cleansed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned. Return. Now, you may know that in the Bible, the word repent, I know in the Hebrew, and I think in the Greek too, it means to just turn around, to turn from the direction that you're going. Turn around 180 degrees. Go in the opposite direction, the direction toward God, of course, and toward His will for your life. Well, that's what this one did. There was repentance. There was a conscience there as well. I think because he knew, not only was he afflicted with this dreaded skin disease, leprosy, and a leprosy could include other skin diseases as well, or that term could include. But he knew that he was unclean, and there was this conscience when he knew that in his heart that he had been healed. And I think beginning to realize, as they all did, that their skin was clear and they had been cleansed of this terrible disease. He realized that he had an obligation to thank the one who did this for him. And so there was an obligation owed that we can learn from. I think it is an obligation. I think if we're not thankful, and I mean from our heart, then we have disobeyed God. We have not met our obligation to thank him. You know, the psalmist says that many times. May the fruit of my lips praise you, and let me offer the sacrifices of praise to you for what you've done for me. So there's a blessing bestowed that we can learn from. There's an obligation owed that we can learn from here. And also there's a sentiment showed. And in that sentiment, and let me read this scripture passage there in verse 16. It says, one of them healed. They were all healed. But one of them returned and gave glory to God. And he fell face down, thanking him. And he was a Samaritan. And so we can picture this in our mind's eye, how he came back and he not only knelt at his feet, but he fell face down. Now, there was no, what are other people going to think of this? I don't think it even crossed his mind. He just knew that this man Jesus, did for him what no other man could possibly do, what no other physician could do. There was no help for this disease. It was incurable. But Jesus had cleansed him. And so there was an uncommon perception. It says, when he saw that he was healed, he returned. Apparently, seeing is not always believing, because if it were, then the other nine would have done the same thing. But certainly believing is seeing. We walk by faith, not by sight. And here was a man who recognized that something miraculous, someone miraculous, had done what only God could do. And he began to perceive that. It says, when he saw that he was healed, the others saw, of course, but not like this one. And what makes the difference? Well, I think it's an uncommon perception. I think it's what the Bible describes as God's grace poured out upon a life. But God's grace must bring that response of faith. Otherwise, God's grace is upon us all, but obviously all are not going to be saved. The Bible makes that clear. And we know that to be true. That's why we must respond in faith. That is our part. And I think this man in his heart, he knew what the Bible said, that he is a sinner, that he had met the one who could forgive his sins, who could cleanse him from within and give him that new life that only Jesus can give. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And this man felt that in his life, that he had become a new creature in Christ because he had an uncommon perception. And I think we could call that faith. But there was also an uncommon praise because it says with a loud voice, he glorified God. It was so loud that some were probably embarrassed by it. Have you ever shouted so loud that you embarrass the people around you? Maybe at a football game. I'm willing to be a fool for that reason. When it comes to the Lord, I don't want to embarrass anyone. I don't want to embarrass myself, really. And, maybe the Lord might be embarrassed. So we're kind of stingy with our praise. I think it's maybe human nature. Getting back to that idea that, you know, we feel like we deserve that beautiful dinner that's been prepared for us, or whatever it is, whatever the blessing is. But there was an uncommon praise. I think it was loud. I think it kind of shook up the disciples. Probably thought, you know, that's a little improper. But it was uncommon. It was from the heart. And we ought to give uncommon praise. There are plenty of times in our lives that we ought to express thanks. But certainly, when it comes to the Lord, the one from whom all blessings flow, we ought to praise Him, shouldn't we? And praise Him loud. I like loud services, as you can tell. I think it shows that we're praising the Lord. And you know, in the wintertime, we keep the doors shut. But you know, if we could just make it a little louder so that we could compensate for that. And yeah, not offend, but, you know, I think people are drawn to praise. They're drawn to people that are happy. They're praising the Lord, joyful, and celebrating the Lord and what He's done in our lives. So uncommon praise here, we can learn from that. An uncommon posture even. It says He fell down on His face at His feet. I think sometimes we're not as praiseful as we should be because of our posture. Our whole posture maybe communicates pride. And I think what kneeling does, or certainly falling down on our face, is it makes us humble. Now, I don't agree with the Muslim belief, of course, but I wish that we were as humble, or at least demonstrating humility. And I'm not sure that's humbleness. Sometimes you can be proud of your humility, and it can become a ritual. But I think when it's sincere, and it certainly was in this case, He was sincere. He did what I think we would do, or I would hope that we would do if we were to meet Jesus. But of course, Jesus is here. And then Jesus is here every day of our lives, if we will just recognize Him, and if we will honor Him as this man did with a grateful spirit, we will just, our lives will be joyful. God will use us to bring others to Him. He will pour even more blessings upon us and through us to others.
Hardly believe that I'm finally where